O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The gospel lesson we just heard read, as with all of the scriptures, are still all about Jesus. Because we, as his disciples, should never take our ears. And St. Paul says, we heard this in Romans, faith comes by hearing. Never take our ears nor our eyes off of Jesus. In this church year in lectionary series A, we've been in Matthew's gospel, and we have been traveling with the disciples. We've been with Jesus. Today we find ourselves in a boat with the disciples. The disciples, who I imagine came from a high point of faith, at least the way it ended last week, when they were out there in the green grass on the hillside beside the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus miraculously turned 5 loaves and 2 fish into a feast, where it says 5,000 men, not including women and children. That was probably a high point. And then Jesus sends his disciples away on a boat across the Sea of Galilee. He said he himself would go up high on a mountain to pray. And it was while they were on that boat, maybe it started out just fine, the waters were calm, that those 12 disciples began to notice the water got a little more choppy. The wind got more intense, and it wasn't a favorable wind behind them, but a headwind that impeded their progress. And then, in the midst of all that, they look out there, the fourth watch of the night, the middle of the night, and see what they are certain is a ghost. It's got to be a ghost, because human beings don't just walk on water. And we hear the disciples' response. It was a threefold response. It says they were, in verse 26, they were terrified. They said, it's a ghost. And then they cried out in fear. Ah! I don't know if that's what it sounded like, but yesterday when I practiced it, that's what the best that came out. I got a little bit of a scratchy throat. See, three things they did. They were terrified. They said, it's a ghost, and that's an anti-confession. You know, sometimes people confess, you're the Lord. Peter says, you're the Lord. But here, they say it's a ghost. And then they cry out in fear. Ah! But notice immediately, three times we get immediately in this section, Matthew 14, 22 to 33, Jesus responds. And for those three things that the disciples did, they were terrified, they said it's a ghost, and then they cried out in fear. Jesus responds and answers all of those concerns. He says, take heart, be courageous. It is I, it's me. Do not be afraid. See, he answers all three. And I bet they remembered, is maybe immediately, as soon as they heard him say, take heart or be courageous. Because earlier back in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, there were two friends who brought their paralyzed buddy to Jesus. And the first thing Jesus said to that man who was lying there paralyzed was, take heart, be courageous, your sins are forgiven. And then a few verses later in 9:22, a woman who has had an issue of blood comes and touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And you remember those first words that Jesus said to her? I bet the disciples did. He said, daughter, take heart, be courageous, your faith has healed you. Immediately, Jesus responds with a reaffirming and reassuring word, and it is enough. That's enough. Take heart, be courageous. It's me. Don't be afraid. And all the, turns into, yay. Except for one. 11 of the 12 disciples are content. Okay, that's Jesus. We'll just wait for him to come over here and get in the boat. But one of them is not satisfied. Maybe you remember his name. Peter. Rocky. No, I don't know if that's what you'd play right there. The church has struggled over time to figure out if Peter is a positive or a negative example of faith. See, one way to preach the sermon is to say, Peter, Rocky, he was bold. All the other 11, they stayed in the boat, but Peter, he had courage. He stepped out of the boat. He tried to go to Jesus. And maybe as Americans, people who like big, bold moves, say, yeah, that's cool that Peter did that. In the same way that back in 1997, Joe Tiller brought basketball on grass to Purdue football, brought innovation, did something bold. You remember, because there's a ton of Purdue fans here. Or maybe the Golden State Warriors won 2 out of the last 3 NBA championships because they weren't afraid to shoot three-pointers with reckless abandon and make them. We like big, bold moves. Uber disrupts an industry. That's bold. But I don't think, not today, not for this sermon, I don't think Peter is the positive example here of faith. The faith, for me at least, tends to ebb. That'd be the low point. It recedes out and flow. That'd be the high point. Up and down, up and down. Now, Lord willing, over time, that up and down has a positive trend. My faith is strengthened, but there are times that I'm down in a trough. I shared a little bit of that with you last week. No, the house hasn't sold yet. But I still believe. But Peter isn't satisfied when Jesus says, take heart, be courageous, it's me. Don't be afraid. He says, Jesus, if it is you, if it's really you, let me come out to you on the water. Jesus obliges him. Come on, Peter. Come on, Rocky. And Peter does pretty well. You know the story. Until he takes his eyes off Jesus. He notices the winds and the waves, and then he sinks like a rock going toward the bottom of the sea. And the reason I say I don't think Peter is a positive example of faith here is notice what Jesus says to him after he rescues him. See, he doesn't say, Peter, I'm so proud of you because you were 1 out of 12 that was bold enough to get out of the boat. He didn't say, Peter, you did pretty well. You know, you were walking on the water like a champ there until you took your eyes off me, but then, well, it went too bad. He didn't say anything like that. Notice the disciples don't cheer. Good job, Rocky. Nice job, buddy. Nothing. What does Peter say? What does Peter receive from Jesus? Oh, you of little faith, you little faith. Why did you doubt? See, that's not a good job, Peter. That's not a warm fuzzy, as I learned in second grade. You gotta give warm fuzzies, not cold pricklies. That's admonition. That's law on the one hand. See, I identify with Peter, but not because I think he here is a huge champion of the faith, and that would make me really arrogant if I thought that, you know, hey, Peter's bold, so am I. No, I identify here with Peter because of the ebb of faith, about not trusting. See, Jesus is essentially saying, what more do you need, Peter? What more do you need, Troy? What more do you need, Pete? Greg? Bud? Shirley? What more do you need? Stay in the boat. Listen to what I say. Trust me. Okay. I feel like I'm saying this weekend. Okay, I'll listen. Try to do better. See, it is this text, it is all about Jesus. Now, it's about Peter too, but it is about Jesus first and foremost, and about who he is. The disciples are confused about his identity. They still haven't seen the whole picture. And they're terrified on the one hand because this is the one who is true God. He can walk on the water. He can calm the storm. But he is also the one who has a compassion that responds immediately to people's needs. Spiritual, emotional, physical. Because sometimes I am faithful enough to listen to Jesus and just stay in the boat. but other times I doubt and I jump out. Give me something more. And rather than give me a pat on the back and tell me, hey, you tried there, Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jeff Gibbs, Matthew expert, former pastor, seminary professor, he says of this section, he says, was there ever a master who was more patient and gracious than this Jesus? The one whose power and authority go out to all who call on him in each and every need, even when they themselves have created their fatal situation of need. So Peter created that situation. He said, I'll come out to you, Jesus. So Peter doubted, not once, but twice. So Jesus says, it's me. Don't be afraid. Peter doubts. I'm not sure it's you. Let me walk out to you. And then after Peter's walking out to Jesus, he doubts again. See, twice there, when Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, it's not just that he took his eyes off Jesus. He got out of the boat in the first place. Disciples listened to their master. Peter created his own situation of need, and yet Jesus responded. And St. Matthew records this, not an accident, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in order to not simply highlight who Peter was, but most importantly, to say this is who Jesus is. The one who has power and authority to save. And if this Jesus is the powerful Lord over the sea, will he save you and me when we call on him? And what if, like me, probably you, we fail to believe the promises that Jesus has made to us? Will he renounce us and abandon us? Say, oh, well, you forgot. If we didn't believe him the first time or the second time or the third time or the 33rd time. So what if I'm only a little faith? What if I find myself in doubt when I should have faith? And Jesus said this in Matthew 13, that should be maybe like a mustard seed but grows into something huge. Will he save me? Or will he, in all his divine power over creation and in his frightening majesty, because part of this is frightening to the disciples, who is able to walk on the sea and calm the storm? Or will he just let me sink and give me over to what I deserve? Well, you know the answer. He doesn't just let us sink. He didn't let Peter sink. And nor will he let you or me sink. Yeah, this is a text about Jesus and about Peter. Now, the portion about Peter, see, I don't think is that he is a positive example of the faith. His faith ebbs and flows, but Jesus never changes. It's still all about Jesus, who is the hero of this story. Not just of this section here in Matthew 14, 22 to 33, but of all the scriptures. At the 10:25 service, new song, we're going to sing a song called I Am. And the refrain of the song says, I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on, I am. I don't know what the songwriter intended. I think probably, I'm guessing it is, I am holding on to you, Jesus. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on, I am, and I would love to believe that I would have the strength, even when the wind and the waves are battering me, and I got water in my eyes, and my grip is getting weak, but I'm holding on to you, Jesus. But the truth is, I don't think I'm strong enough. It can be about me holding on to Jesus and you, but I think this song is even better when the I am holding on to you is Jesus saying, I am holding on to you. I found an image yesterday online, and it shows the perspective is, I'm sure, Peter, who's probably just sinking beneath the waves, and he's looking up through the water, and there is Jesus looking back at him. Now, it would be terrifying if Jesus just had a blank expression, like, well, that's too bad, Peter, you took your eyes off of me, I'm just going to let you go. But no. See, I know Jesus thrusts his hand down through the water, and he grabs Peter, and he says, I am holding on to you with a strength that is certain and sure. The one who is true God, who has the power to calm the wind and the waves, who can walk upon the seas, the one who casts out demons, and yet the one also who has compassion to reach out and heal the woman with an issue of blood, whose heart breaks for those who are like sheep without a shepherd, the one who promises to you and me that if we die before he comes back, that a day is coming when he will reach down into your grave and mine and hold on and pull us up from death to life. See, I want to say, Jesus, I'm holding on to you perfectly, but I don't always. But when he says to you and me, I am holding on to you, it is with a strength of the one who is true God and true man, who has been given all power and authority in heaven and on earth, the one to whom one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, the one who holds on to us in the middle of the storm and even on beautiful, bright, sunny Sunday mornings. To him be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our strong Savior. Amen.